Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
So is AIDS now seen as a manageable disease rather than a disease that is just a death sentence?
Well, AIDS, as you mentioned, has been effectively eliminated insofar as the treatments we have are now very effective. So if someone does present late, we can treat their AIDS infection and then start treating the HIV virus that has caused their AIDS infection and return them to wellness. So AIDS has been eliminated, but HIV has not. Perhaps I should explain the difference between AIDS and HIV a bit further for your listeners. AIDS was first came to light in about 1981 when gay men in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York started to be seen with very exotic infections and very low immune counts, CD4 counts, as we call them. And we didn't know the cause of AIDS in 1981. And it wasn't until 1983 that HIV was found to be the cause of AIDS. You might ask why it took us so long. The problem was that it would often take years between someone acquiring HIV infection and their CD4 counts to fall low enough for them to get AIDS infection. And also the tests at the time did not diagnose HIV. So it wasn't until 1983, 2 years later, that we figured out that HIV virus was the cause of AIDS.
So how effective have today's antiretroviral medications been?
HIV treatments became really effective in around 1996 or so. Although in those days, the number of tablets our patients had to take was incredible. It was, and the side effects were really pretty bad. But as time's gone on, the treatments are not only extremely effective for controlling the virus. Generally, we have a triple cocktail of different drugs all in a single tablet. And so one tablet once a day is now enough to control the HIV infection in most patients. So controlling the HIV virus now has become extremely effective, and the tablets are really relatively easy to take.
So what impact will this medication have on the pharmaceutical market?
The pharmaceutical industry, I think, has, like everyone that was involved in responding to HIV and AIDS, everyone really worked together very well, and I think governments, community groups, patients, pharmaceutical industry, everyone did the right thing. We couldn't have seen the extraordinary progress we have in HIV therapy had everyone not really pulled together and worked toward the interests of the patients. Our big problem now is that there's still nearly, 37 million or so individuals worldwide who are infected with HIV. We still see 1,000 patients, new patients a year with HIV, and even though we keep patients alive, obviously the total number of individuals living with HIV is continuing to grow. So the HIV problem is still an enormous world epidemic. And while we're very fortunate in Australia that our patients get exemplary care, of course, trying to get this same therapy, the same standard of therapy throughout Africa and other parts of the world is really challenging. And we have a global HIV fund that all countries contribute to, including Australia, and that's about to be reconsidered in September. A very important decision will be taken by the Australian government as to our contribution to that global fund and saving lives around the world.
So obviously back when the AIDS was sort of beginning to be a real issue, there was huge, huge stigma around anybody who did suffer from the disease. Mm-hmm. How has the stigma of people suffering from HIV and AIDS changed over time?
Definitely what really helped in Australia is as a community, I think we were culturally more prepared to adapt to the challenges that AIDS brought us in the 80s. There was a wonderful bipartisan response from both sides of politics and a national policy that resulted in the world's best treatment, research and education. right back at the beginning of the epidemic. And so we responded very well. So it was still a time when being in a at-risk group, for example, being gay or being an IV drug user, had its own stigma. And then the additional stigma of having a fatal illness was terrible. It was very, very hard. But I wouldn't want to give you the idea that having HIV today is totally without its burden. Patients have to come to clinic, have to have blood tests, have to take tablets, are worried about infecting their partners and other people. So I don't want to minimize the burden that patients today still carry with this infection.
No, for sure, for sure. But just a final question for you. Despite the strong developmental of medical treatment, and we've come leaps and bounds than from where we started back in the 1980s, do you believe that we're nearing the end to the epidemic, at least in the Western world?
Well, I think that it's a little bit of a distractor. AIDS may not be so relevant insofar as we're doing well enough to prevent patients with HIV dying. But if the number of patients worldwide continues to rise, we still have the biggest epidemic, the biggest global challenge, new global challenge of our time, is still getting out of hand. And without a huge investment in resources to deliver these same drugs to those most in need in the developing world, these infections will continue to come in. Australians will continue to travel, be infected overseas, bring back HIV, infect their partners unknowingly sometimes. So we absolutely still have a major global epidemic of HIV. And this intersects with TB, malaria, and other infections and still causing incredible suffering and misery globally. And so we still have an enormous challenge ahead of us in HIV. So, yes, the AIDS, the fact that we're not seeing AIDS in Australia now is a nice stepping stone and shows that we are making progress, but we're nowhere near done.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Tess.